Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Community Presbyterian Church, Steeple on the Beach, our opening prayer. Holy God, why is it that we look but do not see? Bring us again and again into your light until your ways become visible to us and bear fruit in us. Touch us so that we are utterly changed, a before and after, a now and then, that we may also say, one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's light we pray, amen. Our responsive call to worship. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. God guides me in proper paths for the sake of God's good name. God bathes my head in oil. My cup is full. It spills over.
Yes, God's goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life.
Please join us in a hymn of praise, number 806, I'll Praise My Maker.
As we begin our worship, let's take a moment to pass the peace of Christ and share greetings with one another.
I
Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. It's my privilege and honor to be with you once again on this Sunday and look forward to our worship time together today. And I believe there are a number of announcements that need to be shared, and I think Dan's going to start.
Thank you. Good morning. Our first announcement, starting today at 11 a.m. after fellowship, devotional Bible reading will meet in the West Narthex Library. Saturday, April 1st, Kids Discovery Day, 11 o'clock to 2 p.m. in Briggs Hall. The theme is celebrating Easter. Bring your family and friends. There will be an Easter bunny and an egg hunt and much, much more. Please stay after service for coffee and refreshments in the East Conference Room. Today's flowers are donated by friends in honor of Barbara Ash's birthday. And now I would like to ask Lynn Wilkinson to come up and to pass on some information on the pastor nominating committee.
Good morning. As many of you know, recently our church received a grant to begin the search for a missional pastor as Reverend Gill's term has expired. Last week, we handed out a survey to you who were here and asked you to fill them out so that you could be part of the process. As a new pastor will very much impact the future of our church and each one of us, I urge you to participate in the process by filling out the questionnaire if you haven't already. Copies are in the back in the narthex and also in the conference room, where we invite you to come and join us for coffee and refreshments and to fill out the form. Please give the form to me if you see me or to Dolly in the church office tomorrow. Thank you.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms 23 in our Pew Bible, page 501. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen.
Will you join me in our unison prayer of confession? Gracious God, we are people who still love darkness rather than light. We keep shameful deeds secret. We flaunt our occasional acts of virtue. We see ourselves as blameless, but pass judgment on others. We do not stand firmly enough with those who are vulnerable, but step back, protecting ourselves. Forgive us, we pray. Bring us into your light, that we may see ourselves rightly. Bring us into your light, that we may know ourselves loved. Bring us into your light, that we may live more fruitful lives. Keep raising us, we pray, from the deadness of sin, and shine upon us with your grace. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. And we'll sing "Lord Have Mercy on Us," hymn 575. Friends, let us hear the good news. Even when we mess up, God always forgives us. Know then that you are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven indeed. Be seated. We'll turn to hymn number 452. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I think I like this new hymnal.
I do too.
Let us pray together. Shepherd God, we praise you for enfolding us in your great love. We rejoice in the knowledge that your care for us is so great that we lack nothing. You provide for all our needs, even the strength to cope in times of darkness and distress. The depth of your care for us is more powerful than evil and death. In response to these many blessings, we have gathered together praying that this time of worship will be a fitting response to the many blessings we receive from you. O Jesus, servant, King, and light of the world, you penetrate the darkness of the world with your love and your life, graciously enlightening us in ways which enable us to see the world and our neighbors as you see them. Help us to walk in your light so that goodness, righteousness, and truth are made visible as we reflect your love and mercy in and through all that we do and say. We offer now our prayers on behalf of others. We pray for those affected by the terrorist act in London, for those that we've heard about on the news already today in different parts of our world with shootings and injuries. Lord, be with those who are seeking answers and solution, those who are trying to find ways to address these things and give them wisdom for the task. Be with all those in places where there is turmoil and unrest. Bring peaceful and meaningful resolution, we pray. For those who serve in the military and their families, we offer our concern and prayers for their safety and comfort. For the leaders of our nation and nations around the world, we ask that they may be guided by your Spirit to work for the benefit of all their citizens and bring peace to our world. For all who are ill, lonely, grieving, homeless, and in need of your healing, your help, and your hope, we ask that it may come soon. Use us where we can be used as instruments of your love and your grace. This prayer we offer in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, as we pray the words that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we have some more information to be shared with us, the Kids Discovery update.
This morning, I want to pray for you guys, for God open the eyes to your heart. Maybe for you, it's like, you know, discovering day is nothing. But for this church, it means a lot. Because you go out and reach people for coming in. New generation, new people, new family. Yesterday, I'm with my family, my kid, grandkids, in the park, in the under the bridge, has a new park. It's beautiful. If somebody come to me and say, no family live in this area, trust me, this is not true. Because yesterday, I'm meeting more than 100 family with the little kids, enjoy. In the area. And you are here, this beautiful church, big church. And it has just one kid today here, my granddaughter, in the back. But I invite you, I pray for God open the eyes to your heart. And you can see something different in this church. And I invite you for next week coming in Discovery Day. It's beautiful. You want to see God come and see the beautiful, beautiful kids shine around this place. This church I need. This church I need light. And I invite you for help me. Not just coming, but helping your talent, you, older generation. Older generation has so many forgive. I have so many forgive. And they invite you to forgive you something that you have inside, your talent, for teaching the new generation for new things by God. And I invite you for coming next week, 11 o'clock, April 1st. April 1st, now in my country from Brazil, And my counting, April 1st, like, you know, you joke, people, but this, you know, go joke nobody. You go see beautiful little ones, and come. And I invite you for help me one day before for decoration, the Briggs Hall, and I need you bring the decoration for Easter. I know has a much budget, and I need your help too. Okay? Thank you.
And it is time for our offering. Freely we have received, freely let us give. And thank you for that music. It's one of the reasons I enjoy coming here. I always love the music. Our scripture reading is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. In your pew Bible, it's on page 102. Actually, the story that we're looking at is the whole chapter 9 of John's Gospel. But let us hear this word. As he, that is Jesus, walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man," but they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." And if you continue on in the chapter, he's finally taken before the religious leaders, the Pharisees. And because he had done this on the Sabbath, they deemed him a sinner because you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. And then they brought in his parents to ask them about the man, and they testified he was their son, but they don't know exactly what happened and how he got his sight. And then verse 24, it says, "And so for the second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, 'Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner.' He," that is the blind man, the formerly blind man, answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." And the story even continues from there with their desire to somehow capture Jesus in something that he had done wrong. In a song by Michael Card, "The Gentle Healer," he has these lyrics. "The gentle healer came into our town today. He touched blind eyes and the darkness left a stay. More than blindness, he took their sins away. The gentle healer came into our town today." Oh, we would love that for the gentle healer, this Jesus that we hear of in this ninth chapter, to come into our town to touch our lives, to heal our need. The ninth chapter of John is really a showdown between Jesus and the religious leaders. He heals this blind man, then he encounters the wrath of these powers that be. And there's a drama that unfolds with the disciples, this unnamed blind man, Jesus, the community, the parents, the religious authorities of the day. In this lesson, Jesus comes upon a blind man, a man who had never seen the face of his mother or father. He was born blind. When the disciples saw the man, they have the most interesting question, I think. Their question was, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I don't know that that would be our first question to ask if we encountered someone in that condition. But it was a common belief of that day that if a person committed a sin, some illness or accident would happen to that person. And according to some scripture, even that the sins of the parents were transferred to the children. Jesus dispelled some of that when he said to his disciples, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Instead, he was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." A couple of thoughts before we move on into this story. Probably hundreds of people had passed that blind man who was there on the side of the road begging. Many of them probably never even noticed him. Or maybe they avoided him. They didn't want to have to be confronted with him. After all, he was different. He was blind. And there is that tendency, a human tendency, often to avoid people who are different from us, whatever that difference may be. But that was not Jesus' practice. The question is, how about us? What is our reaction when we encounter someone who is different from us, when we encounter someone with a disability? Do we shy away from them? Do we patronize them? Or do we treat them simply as another human being? One expert in the field has said, if you speak to a person who has been blind for many years, he or she will note that it is not the steps, the throw rugs, or the canned goods in the kitchen that are a problem. A person blind for many years will rather find that it is the demeaning, belittling, or patronizing attitudes and opinions of people with sight that present the greatest difficulties. So it causes us to ask, do we put people in a box? Do we label them because of what we see about them? Oh, those are handicapped folks over there. Those are African-American people over there. They're Latino. They're elderly. They're female. Whatever the label that we might put on them, we have a list that goes on and on and on. And we put people in categories, and we put labels upon them as if that's all that they are. Why cannot we just see people as fellow human beings, a child of God, a person for whom Christ gave his life? The disciples' question is a question of blame and a common perception, as I mentioned that day. If you worship a God who is primarily a dispenser of justice, this is a logical question. It happens to us sometimes, if we stop and think about it. When we've encountered a number of problems that have come our way, or we find ourselves frustrated over something, then we'll ask the question, what did I do to deserve this? As if some action that we took brought all this upon us. Well, evidently, there are some heartaches in life that are derived by cause and effect. There are some things, if we do, we know there are consequences. You drive too fast, possibly an accident. Good possibility of a ticket. If you eat too much, there's problems with diabetes that may come, a heart attack. There are some things that have consequences to them. But God is not running around in our world, looking over our world, looking for people he can zap because they've done something wrong. He's not out dispensing justice on everybody, giving them what they deserve. Lord help it if he starts doing that to us. And while some actions of a parent may affect future generations, because we've seen that in families where there are certain patterns and systems that work in families, and it gets passed down from generation to generation with things that are problems for that family. But the idea that God would punish a child for the sins of his parents, I find repulsive. God is not interested in trying to punish us for our past. God's focus is on our future. God wants to take away our hurt, wants to bring healing so that we can glorify him. God wants to wash away our past so that we will be free to serve him. And I don't believe, as you look at part of this scripture at the end, that God made this man blind so that he could bring about this healing. This man happened to be blind at this moment. He was an instrument to show what God could do, but not made blind for that purpose. As we look at our story, we discover that there are two kinds of blindness. There's blindness that is physical, the blindness of our eyes. Then there's a blindness of the spirit, a blindness of the heart. The blind man did exactly what Jesus told him to do, and for the first time in his life, he could see. He could see people he had only heard before. And perhaps he would no longer have to sit on the side of the road and beg for people to give him money so that he could support himself. Now he may be able to take care of himself. He was given a new life through the gift of sight. A mother of five lost her vision through illness, and she struggled with her blindness. She had always been self-sufficient to take care of herself, and now she found herself having to depend upon other people to do the things she once did for herself. And through this experience, she realized just how much she needed other people. She began to notice things around her that she had never noticed when she had sight. One of those being a young blind man who stood on the corner. And before, when she had sight, she just walked by and never paid any attention, but now she did. She spoke to him. Eventually, she became his friend. She discovered he had never had a birthday party, and she says, so I baked him a cake and organized a party. He blew out the candles he couldn't see. He was delirious with joy. She says, I felt so happy. I had come from that blind person on the corner to someone who had seen a need and done something about it. Do you hear what she's saying? She's saying it was she who was blind, even when she could see, because she was blind to the needs of other people. But now, even in her physical blindness, she had a better sight because she could see the needs of others. She says everyone should experience temporary blindness to see how our vision can give us such hang-ups, how we judge and condemn, and what that does to us all. She was able to help that young blind man on the street corner with her love and kindness, gave him a birthday party, and he met a girl, and he began to fall in love with her, and then someone with sight told him that she was unattractive. And as a result, he stopped seeing her. She says, it brought tears to my eyes. He had been seeing fine until some so-called seeing person misguided him. There are two kinds of blindness, a blindness of the eyes and a blindness of the heart. And that's the first thing we see in this story. A second that we see is when we go from blind to seeing, sometimes we face unexpected struggles. This man, born blind, had a whole new world to discover. He probably never realized the struggles he would face as a result of his new eyesight. For example, there were the neighbors. You would have thought they would have been overjoyed that he now had his sight. What he didn't realize was now that he had his sight, he was changed. In fact, some of his neighbors didn't even recognize him, and all that had changed was he now could see. How could this be the same man, they asked. And he explained, the man called Jesus, made some mud, spread it on my eyes, and I went and washed and received my sight. And they wanted to know where Jesus was, and he said, I don't know. Then he went before the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and again he told his story, and they questioned him, and they asked, what do you say about him? And the man who gained his sight said, he's a prophet. The religious leaders didn't believe the man's story because they too were blind, blind to who Jesus was. You know, there should have been a party, like the birthday party that's going to be held later today, celebrating this man and his ability now to see. He should have lived happily ever after. But that's not always the way life turns out. It's not easy to move from darkness to light. Change is painful. And sometimes the change is painful for those people around us when we change. They don't know how to respond any longer to us. Talk with anyone who's ever made a meaningful change in their lives, and you'll discover that pain. Moving from darkness to light can bring problems, but it can also bring faith. The religious leaders once again called the man born blind for interrogation. They were losing their patience, and they asked how he could now see. Again, he explained what happened. We know that this man is a sinner, they said. I do not know whether he's a sinner or not. He said, one thing I know, though I was blind, now I see. These religious leaders claimed they didn't know where Jesus came from, and the man found it hard to believe. He said, you do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. Defensively and with hostility, they replied, you were born entirely in sin, and you're trying to teach us? And then they expelled him from the temple. He was no longer allowed to come to worship. Jesus heard what happened, found the man, and asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man replied, tell me so that I may believe in him. And then came that moment of truth. Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. And the man exclaimed, Lord, I believe. And like so many of Jesus' healings, the person is healed and comes back to make a confession of faith. This man was giving his eyesight, but now he sees much more. Now he is seeing through the eyes of faith. Another person who was born blind but had the gift of spiritual sight was Helen Keller. She once wrote, I learned that it is possible for us to create light, sound, and order, no matter what calamity may befall us in the outer world. She possessed an inner light even in the face of a darkened world. Some of the religious leaders were listening in on the conversation between Jesus and the man, and they took offense at what Jesus said. "Surely we're not blind, are we?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." And in John's gospel, the only sin or the only blindness is unbelief, a failure to believe in Jesus. They claimed they could see, but in truth, what John is saying is they were blind. A man who was born blind could see through the eyes of faith, and he confessed Jesus as Lord, and he worshiped him. Stanley Krawczyk, at 21 years of age, had an accident that left him blind. His faith and a sense of humor carried him over the rough times, and eventually he became a dynamic leader in his community. His zest for fun became a driving force to bring some levity into the lives of those who were dreary and depressed. He planned parties at the local hospital. He rounded up 90 volunteers each month, hired an orchestra, gave the patients the best time of their lives. Next, he applied his talents to a children's home where he planned picnics and provided ice cream and soda and hot dogs and an orchestra, all they could eat for free. Over 100 children enjoyed the picnic. He even raised $5,000 to construct a shelter for outside activities. Then he planned parties and dances for a retirement home, again, for free. The American Cancer Society heard about him, and they were looking for a driver to do some visits, and they didn't know about his blindness, and they enlisted him, and for 2 years he served. He found someone to drive him, and he went around, and he finally had a heart attack and went in the hospital before they discovered this man they had hired as their driver could not see. Life has been full for Stanley. He's brought laughter and fun into lives that would have known nothing but despair. Not only have patients' lives been touched, but also the lives of all those volunteers that he ministered to over the years. After 40 years of helping people, Stanley says, "I count my blessings and thank God for allowing me to go blind. It was very difficult at first," he says, "but I wouldn't have lived the life I've lived if I had not been blind." One can be blind in his eyes, Stanley says, but that doesn't make him blind in his heart. Stanley knows, and our story shows, two kinds of blindness, the physical and the spiritual. Blindness of the eyes, blindness of the heart. So as we look at our story and all the characters that are in it for today, who was the blind one around there? As we think about our lives and our community and our interaction with people, who is the blind one around here? May God give us eyes to see the truth. The truth that he calls us to. Our hymn of dedication is hymn number 649. I'm sure a song we all know, "Amazing Grace."
Thank you.
And let's do together, guide my feet while I run this race, my Lord, as our benediction and choral response.